Well, it's my great pleasure to once again welcome into the studio none other than the Citizen Lobbyist. Where have you been, Citizen Lobbyist?
Same way where you have been, Mike. We had a week off to refresh.
Right.
And went by too quick, didn't it?
Well, in one sense, yes, I come back. In our case, we actually left the state, went away down to Seattle, came back, and not much has changed here. The snow still
eludes us,
but I'm told that snow will be coming very soon. There have been people who have taken the time to enjoy the holiday, who are associated with the variety of organizations we usually cover, things like the borough, school board, and also the city of Palmer. And so the city of Palmer had one special meeting because they're continuing their work with
budget. Their deadline's coming up quick, right?
Right. And so we're going to begin to see next week, I know, the entities coming back in because they have some heavy decision making to do. And I know that in particular, the school board, let's start with the school board. The school board is looking toward meeting with the legislative delegation. And there will be some new faces in that delegation this year. And maybe that's
new face on the school board too, Mike.
Right. One new face there, a change in leadership in the sense that there's a new president on the school board. And I guess what I'm wondering is if you see that those changes that have happening really portend something in the way of any significant shift in the way that the school district and delegation are going to play together as they enter the new legislative session.
Well, it is going to be a bit of an education year for them. They do have three new legislators this year. Colleen Leonard Sullivan from the Wasilla area that was a long time, served several terms on the Wasilla City Council. David Wilson, who also did serve as on that Wasilla City Council, and the replacement for Wes Keller, who's now gone, David Eastman.
Right.
So there's three new legislators in the Valley, sort of all somewhat unknowns, at least when it comes to the Eastman seat. Never been in political office before. So they're going to have some, I would say, probably a learning curve that they're going to have to push pretty hard at knowing what school funding is all about for those bodies, because they're in a hole. All the school districts are in a hole. Anchorage is even in a bigger hole with the deficits this year. I did see their list of legislative priorities. I think you saw it too, Mike, at the last school board meeting. Most of them are regulatory tweaks that they think will improve their ability or their performance and their ability to spread their budget out a little bit. There's a couple of them. There was some asks in there, as I recall, to relocate the Alaska Middle College from the Anchorage campus where it's at to the Matsu campus. So there is a legislative ask for that, for some money for that. I think their main priority is to get that sunset lifted on building new schools and the reimbursement of the bond debt, because that's where the big hole is the bonds that were passed by the voters to build five new schools. And now the state has, at least in the last budget, reneged on paying their 70% share of those, leaving the amount sort of in the laps of the local taxpayers to pay. And there's hope that that will be changed once the legislators get in session. But it's going to be a very interesting year. You've got a Senate that's pretty much like it was last year. A little bit of changes in Senate finance and in leadership, but sort of business as usual. And then they have a whole bipartisan coalition making our legislators for the first time in the minority.
Yes,
because
right.
None of them have, none of the House members, both of the two new House members have not joined that bipartisan coalition. Delana Johnson, I forgot, Delana Johnson will be going too. And so they are all, as they're Republicans and not have joined on to that, they are not going to have a seat on finance or any of the chairmanships at this point. So, yeah, there's going to be some very interesting movement, I would say, that the school district is going to be keeping their eye on, as is the borough.
And as we switch over to the borough, I think it's useful to also note an interesting thing there, that we have clearly a situation where the governor has directly communicated with all of the municipalities and said, okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you want something to get done and the legislature is recalcitrant, and I've been working with them, throwing this idea out, how about you coming up and talking with them? There was a little bit of pushback I saw from our own local municipality, the borough, in the sense of, well, almost wanting to not, I don't want to go so far as say take responsibility, but be a player in this. So I'm wondering if this aspect is going to become the subject of considerable discussion. Just who is it? The legislature, which has final approval on these things, the governor, who's been prominent in making suggestions, or local entities, whether they're gathered together with the Alaska Municipal League or individual entities through lobbyists. I was reminded that the borough has a lobbyist, a very talented guy, been in the legislature himself, Speaker of the House over the years.
I'm not sure they voted to retain a lobbyist yet, but it would seem they would do that probably.
One would think that. Mm-hmm. I noted that his salary was seemed to be fairly high. I thought I saw a figure of $80,000.
I think both the federal lobbyist and the state lobbyist gets around $75,000 each.
Yeah.
And that may be amended this year. The school district also has their own lobbyist,
right,
and it'll be up to them to decide whether they retain one or, you know, maybe they look at real cost cutting now that this we're working sort of in the days that seemingly the school district and borough are working together more cohesively. Maybe they want to join forces with a lobbyist.
And I saw a reference to, one of the municipalities down in the Kenai area saying, no, we're not going to have a lobbyist anymore.
Yeah, Palmer quit having a lobbyist quite a while ago.
We're just going to send our own people there, mm-hmm, and they, et cetera. So in the swirl of what I think is not a new normal, but a very different circumstance, you could call it the second go-round for this very large budget deficit. But I think with the changed players, the changed circumstances, changed question mark out of Washington, D.C., mm-hmm, much of what has passed for knowledge that's been built up over the years so that you could say, yeah, we know how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It might be this year is the year to be very creative, very flexible, and to get enough information to be able, if you're here in the borough or city, wherever, to ensure that you're not just letting someone else take care of things.
Well, I think you're right, Mike. I think it is going to be the year to be nimble, both on the part of the citizens and on decision makers, because there's a lot of unknowns coming from the new presidency and how that's going to affect Alaska, what it's going to do to Medicare, what it's going to do to Medicaid, what it's going to do to Social Security. We have the senior population has grown 40% in MATSU in the last 5 years. Those are all those are bodies that are very reliable, relying on those services, senior services as a whole. So they are going to have to be nimble because they're going to have to be reactionary to whatever changes come their way. I think you'll hear some be very optimistic because perhaps there's going to be less regulation, but that also means less protections. And I think we need to start thinking about that. When somebody says, let's get rid of regulations, is it regulations or is it really protections we're getting rid of? And we're a new state. We have a lot. We're doing a lot of exploring. We're sort of on our nimble legs here, kind of that little fawn in the forest. And it's a little harder, I think, to be reactionary to those things when you don't have the structure that other states do to respond to that. We've laid a lot of state workers off. Don't have the processing that we normally would have had. And the impacts of those jobs, although we're not feeling it too so far here in the Valley so much, that's going to start peeking its nose out too as people you know, that retire decide to maybe move elsewhere, or if people here cut back because they've, you know, one of their spouses now been laid off. There's all kinds of things coming around the corner. So not to be too pessimistic during the holidays, but I think it's really going to be more important. It always is important, but it's more important than ever that everybody's diligent in keeping up what's going on, both at the local and the state level, and how these new players and their new positions affect change, and how you can support the ones that are affecting the change that you want and you see that are, is benefits your communities and your own life, and the ones that aren't so much, that you speak out and let them know, and they're not just listening to their own echo chambers. That becomes the problem.
And we know that the city of Palmer in particular is closing in on a budget for next year. And my understanding, I've not heard anything different, is that there's still the question of when the transfer of the dispatch center will actually occur and the city of Wasilla will take over and Palmer
will
stop
doing
stuff.
It's going to be a while. I know Bert Cottle spoke to a group I was with last week, and he made it sound like it's 6 months plus it's going to be, that it's not going to be as quickly. I don't even know if they've determined where the facility is going to be that's going to handle that. If they're going to put it into their own remaining facility there in Wasilla, or if they're looking at a new facility. It's a lot of changes. Meanwhile, the city of Palmer will still have its own dispatch center. That we're in sort of the position where things should not change too much for the city of Palmer. They'll be responding to their own calls no matter what, even during a transition. So.
And they, of course, continue to cover the dispatch as they have been for the larger area. I think from a standpoint of a situation where you have someone who is
volume.
Saying, there's the budget. Coming back to the practical considerations of budget, we're talking about the differential expenses associated with running a smaller operation or when this is handed over, and the effect that this will have on the budget.
So here, employees.
Yeah, employees, et cetera. So I can see the concern that the city of Palmer people have of saying, okay, we have to
do
scenario
for?
A, scenario B.
Yeah, they do.
And they have to talk to the borough and say, okay, they had made a request back in the day looking at this, saying once you determine you're going to make this change, it's going to take a while.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the point where you roll back to the recording and say, listen to people say, oh, it'll be done by the end of 2016. Or and we're rapidly realizing that no, that's not the case, and it's going to take a while. And in fact, there are some still unknowns. I thought I heard maybe Mayor Cottle spoke to him regarding all the funding and the costs associated with this. I think it brings up,
well, especially since they bid it so much lower than what the city of Palmer had done it for it.
I'm not ready to say that this was a low ball bid that. Has to have adjustments later to make it actually work.
But be something to watch.
Anything having to do with this kind of transference of technology, et cetera.
And then it has such a chain reaction because the borough is going to base their budget based on a bid they received from the city of Wasilla to handle this, which is they did primarily for the benefit of a cheaper way of operating. And to hand that duty off to them to do. So any amount of overrun is going to affect their bottom line. And they're looking at down a hole of a sizable amount right now, too. And they've already done some things. They've had a travel freeze on for a long time. They have a hiring freeze now. They've gone from 6 planners down to 4 planners, I think, or maybe 3 even. So there's been discernible cuts. The pains is starting to be felt. I noticed... I'm curiously watching. I know that assembly person in Anchorage has brought up a possibility of adding a 4% sales tax in the city of Anchorage.
Oh,
And that will be something for us to watch. They're sort of faced to the figures. Their deficit is even higher than ours, and we'll see how that plays out. They have a fairly balanced, but maybe less than conservative. Assembly there, so we'll have to see how that general sales tax, how palatable it's failed every time. maybe they'll decide it's just a seasonal sales tax, which everybody's kind of pushed for. And then meanwhile, the city of Palmer probably has to look to see if they need to fill their hole by raising their sales tax a little bit. Or
exactly.
Same thing with the city of Wasilla, that maybe they have to start looking at their property owners who pay no extra property tax, no mill rate in addition to the borough mill rate, making it cheaper than everywhere to live, may have to relook at that as or determine which, you know, services need to be cut back or eliminated. They have a shiny new library to pay for now.
That's right. Now, it's also, I've been picking up a little bit of information about some further work that's moving along with the marijuana grow distribution situation. A number of places opening in Anchorage, Fairbanks, other places. I have not yet heard what is happening in Houston.
Well, I was at the Planning Commission at Houston last week, I believe. They have four applications there, two retail and two commercial grows that they're getting ready to do approval on. So things should be happening pretty quickly at the city of Houston.
And of course, what I've noted is that there have been varying statements made about the amount of income to government, if you will, that comes from that through taxes. There have been some doubts whether this would be significant, and yet if you're in Washington State or Colorado, there seem to be some significant amounts of money that are thrown up once the whole market begins to develop. And I'm just curious, as we look at the already established retail outlets in particular, growing operations, Fairbanks, Valdez, Kenai, Anchorage, and ultimately Houston, what the borough will be doing now that you have this opportunity to presumably license in the borough.
The voters did pass a 5% sales tax, which by most estimations is pretty low. And the city of Wasilla has opted out, but only by the for a year because they did it through their city council. City of Palmer, of course, will have to wait it out because they went through a voter initiative. They'll have to wait 2 years from last year when it was passed as a ban on retail growth anyway. So I don't know. I would imagine it's going to be a wait and see what the revenue is going to be. I saw the first check or the second check deposited last at the state level, which was $5,000. So what the state is taxing was yesterday was deposited. So we'll just have to see. I think they're not, I think that I see that they're guardedly optimistic that it will bring revenue to the table, but they're also realist about it. And I don't think they're, I think it's sort of the sentiment of the borough, at least, assembly, from what I see, is not to count their chickens before they hatch. And they've also, we should note that there's been a sizable amount of money spent just to get to this point. They've had numerous planning commission meetings. They've had the marijuana board. They've had to support. Those take a lot of resources to get this. So to get it up and to fill that hole of administratively setting this up, I noticed they're going to send it back to the planning commission again for some tweaks on a referral. I saw that on the agenda. So they're not completely done with all of that yet. And that's all. You know, those are all money items that they have to consider.
There's another topic which seems to be drawing interest, and that is a approach to the Planning Commission to approve a monofill just south of Palmer. And my understanding is that's going to be presented and discussed at the Planning Commission meeting on Monday.
And it could be. It'll be interesting to see if it maybe it gets kicked down the road. You know, there's going to be three openings on the Planning Commission in January.
Oh.
The chair, Klapperich, will be terming off. Number five and number three, I believe. No, five, three, and six all will have new planning commissioners. So sometimes those things go a couple of meetings. Maybe there is more another one later in December. But it'll be interesting to see. I know there's a lot of community pushback. That hasn't changed. But that will certainly be one to watch, Mike, for sure.
And are you aware of any other items that are likely to appear on the Borough Assembly's agenda coming up?
Well, they're going to take fees up again. It seems like they're always, I thought they solidified that, but apparently that has not happened again. But their agenda without the packet, but just the agenda so far, has been is up for people to peruse on the borough website. They are going to talk again about the boards and commissions and how they're going to move things around in that. So they're going to probably repeal the ordinance they have and then introduce another ordinance to create what they're going to do from here on out about boards and commissions. We have a lot of boards and commissions and a lot of empty seats. So I know they've been working on that, and that's a matter of personnel too. The planning department does a lot of facilitating those boards, as does the community department. So they're all looking at ways to cut their budgets. So we'll see that. So I think that one could have a lot of talk. And then the gravel extraction, I think that one's back on there too. So I think you're going to be plenty busy next Tuesday. And then there's a school board meeting on Wednesday.
Right.
Right.
Well, that's happening. And as a side note, the announcement was made that the trial of the two people accused of starting the Sockeye fire has been postponed.
Right.
January. A lot of people wanting to participate in that, and that just moved on. And so we don't have any update on it, except that it's still in process.
Right.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, Citizen Lobbyist, for coming in today and sharing some observations of post-Thanksgiving and between the holidays type of comments. Soon we'll be able to look back at the entire year as we approach Christmas and say, oh, what happened
this
year?
Didn't we just do that?
Yeah, about a year ago.
Yeah.
Okay, have a good week or two. You'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yep.
And we'll go on from there.